If it's good, we'll tell you. If it's rubbish, we'll tell you. This is Radio Yorkshire, the only place for honest opinions on the greatest game.
Right, let's head to the Bramall Lygon Stadium for the first time this afternoon. Our full match commentary, of course, is Wakefield versus St Helens. We'll say a very good afternoon to Craig Murdoch and Gary Schofield, who are there this afternoon. Gentlemen, good afternoon. And what's the weather like there now?
Good afternoon, Rich. Yeah, we've had it. I came, it was sunny. Now we've had a bit of a rain shower, and the that's stopped, thankfully. But I think there may be one or two more in the air this afternoon, Rich.
A greasy pitch, then.
Yeah, probably. Well, let's get the excuses in early for the drop ball.
Exactly. Well, it's the ball, it's the weather, it's everything else. Scully, how are you? Have you recovered from Tuesday yet, first of all?
Yes, just about, Rich, to be honest with you. And I say good afternoon to yourself and all our listeners here this afternoon. Yeah, so recovered, mate. But also, as well, I've just had the first portion of chips since Monday night here at Wakefield. I tell you what, the chip butter is delightful. I asked for it yesterday to be delivered by around about 22, so we can get started here at 2 o'clock. Absolutely spot on today, Richie. Two big pans of chips. Everybody's happy. Plenty of bread cakes. And you know what all the press guys are saying? Well done, Scoey. They've reacted to you. They've listened to you. And I thank Michael Carter. So well done, Wakefield.
Put in there as well, Rich. Which other chairman in the league would come out of the director's box, walk directly over to the press box and say, Scoey, are you happy? And he got the thumbs up. So everybody is happy.
He's got far too much influence. I know he's a Hall of Famer, but he gets...
Rich, it's as simple as I said to Kramer and all the press guys in the room. If you don't ask, you don't get. That's all we ask for. We ask for a little bit of respect, and we'll give the respect back.
You know what
back.
He said to me, Rich? If he'd have been there on Friday, we'd have been on air. And you know what, mate? I don't doubt him.
Well,
I think the least said about Friday, the better, mate.
Yeah, about the game, about everything. You know what made it even worse, Craig? Is after the game when I went to the press conference, my phone didn't record them, so that made it even worse. All that way for nothing, never mind.
Anyway, Rich, have you recovered from the fish and chip challenge?
Well, I obviously went to Hull on Friday, yeah. And Matt Horton and myself passed the chip shop on the way there. I couldn't face the fish.
Absolutely. I bet
just
you
had the sausage.
Yeah, I bet.
£2.30, it was lovely.
Yeah, I bet you didn't fancy them. To be honest with you, I normally have them on a Saturday for my dinner, but no, I couldn't, mate. No, I don't think I'll be ready for another week or so yet. Mm. So, but I tell you what, it was, I say thanks to the Casey's Fish and Chips. It was a great challenge, great night, good laugh. I think we've had some good responses. But I tell you what, though, Rich, to be honest with you, some people, a little bit, as we know, on the Twitter regarding the legend from there. And at the end of the day, the people who give me a bit of stick, I don't mind a bit of stick whatsoever. That's what it's all about, a bit of banter, a bit of opinion, but... The people who were realistically ripping in, it was only a bit of fun. It was only a bit of fun. Right. It wasn't too serious.
too many people out there far too serious in this life.
It was the same, Craig. It was only a bit of fun, and you know, some of them, fools always rushing. Grow your sense of crystals. Who do you think you are, the legend? You can't finish fishing. You know, it was only a bit of fun. So if any of them listeners are listening from there who tweeted in with them sort of message, thanks very much, because, as I say, the Radio Yorkshire team, we're looking forward to the next challenge. We prepared pretty well for that one, and we know exactly what to expect now, Rich, don't we?
Well, I'd say to those people, give it a go yourself. It's very difficult.
I agree. Well, I think tomorrow night, aren't we going to come up with something where we're going to competition for the listener to take up that challenge, just to see how hard it is, to be honest with you.
I've no idea. No one tells me what happens on the show before I get in. I'll ask Mark when he reappears. You were at DW Stadium on Friday for Wigan versus Leeds. What did you make of that one?
Well, I never expected anything less than a Wigan victory, to be honest with you. Obviously, with the Leeds side and the Leeds 19, which was named, you know, 48 hours before from there. So, yeah, good effort by the Leeds lads, and as I say, from the young kids who went in there, yeah, good experience for themselves, as Matt Dermott's saying there, from a physicality point of view, it's something what they, you know, they would have learnt and get used to, and they know exactly where they're going to get to. So overall, the effort, I guess the commitment and enthusiasm from Leeds was okay, but Wigan, well, 34-0 against literally a kid side, an A team side, a reserve side, whatever you want to call it from there, I thought Wigan were pretty poor, and at times absolutely clueless. And I'm just telling Craig Murdoch here as well, Richie, if this is the way the game is going to go, and certainly one of the best rugby league clubs, you know, that's in world of rugby league, to be honest with you, and if they think Entertaining Rugby League is all about looking for repeat sets. On the third and fourth tackle, there were seven different people who kicked the ball, from Tompkins, from Lulawai, from Williams to O'Loughlin, from Powell, from Gelling, and McAlorum. And looking for repeat sets on the third and fourth tackle, they're 10 metres away from the opposition try line, they're getting a drop goal out and getting the ball 50 metres away. What's all that about? We're in the entertainment business, and I know for sure, because I was there on Friday night, there wasn't one Wigan fan, Richie, not one Wigan fan on Friday night, delighted with that 34-point victory, and certainly nowhere near happy the way Wigan performed, because they all know what's coming up. All right, Salford at this moment in time, it looks like the four wheels on their wagon are punching at this moment in time, but the Wigan fans, they know they have to play a hell of a lot better next week to get to Wembley, because it was absolutely dire at times.
It is the problem, Craig, that we on this side of the picture in the entertainment business, but Sean Wayne, etc., in the results business.
Well, yeah, it's a fine line, Rich, isn't it? And you know, and even the fans understand that. You know, if you ask any fan of any club, you play absolutely fantastic, you entertain us, but we go home with a loss, or you play awful and you go home with a W, we know exactly what everyone's going to say. But yeah, you know, you want to report on a good game. You want, I think a story of that is Friday night at the KCOM. You know, it wasn't a great game, it wasn't entertaining, but Hull FC needed a win. They got it. They can put that in the back pocket now, and they've still got a chance, or still will be, in the top four at the end of this split. So it is a very, very fine line. And as I said, we, who are neutrals in this game, we want to be entertained, but not everybody else sees it that way.
Yeah, but also as well, Richard, look at that Wigan side. It was literally their best side, certainly from a backline point. Forget the forwards, you know, the forwards do the hard, but it, from their point of view, from Wigan, from the backline, Lulawai and Williams, the centres in Gelling and Gilda, and the wingers from Davis, all right, Marshall or whatever may come in, and the other winger, and the same from there, and Tompkins at fullback. That is there. That is literally their best side from a point of view where they're looking for creativity and score tries.
If you're going to do devil's advocate and come in there, though, Scoey, probably we're in round 23. How many times have they played together? Two? Three? Maybe even one. All of them together. So you know yourself, and certainly it takes a while to get to build up there. I'm just being devil's advocate.
Craig, to be honest with you, everybody knows. When you're coming through here, now, and certainly from Wigan's point of view, everybody knows what their formula is. So whether you're playing in the academy and you get called up to the first team, they all know the position. It's like Cass at this moment in time, and we'll see here at wait for the time at Salford from there. They know exactly the roles we have to do as individuals and be part of that team collectively from there. So I guess, you know, I won't buy into that, to be honest with you, from there. And what I am saying is here, quite clearly, the balance, because everybody knows how I go on about our bats having the right balance from there, from a creativity point of view, that between Lulawai and George Williams, that doesn't work for mine.
Yeah.
What did you make of the young players coming into the side? Obviously a difficult place to go to, but did they acquit themselves well?
Yeah, they did. You know, and did I say the pressure was put on, and you know, Wigan at times they ripped in, forced plenty of mistakes. But one thing for sure here, and I'll say it now, Aston Gulden will never be a number six while he's ever playing rugby league. And you know, okay, we're forced into there, but he will never ever being number six, you know, he should never play that position again. If they've got somebody else in the academy, sling him in, because, as I say, it wasn't fair on the young kid to put him in that position. OK, Jack Walker, a natural full-back, as we know from there, but unfortunately for Aston Gulden, and also as well Jordan Lilly, because he didn't have a half-back partner to take any pressure off him, to be honest with you. You know, Jordan at times were running around like a chicken with no head on. You know, he had to get there with the organisation with ball in hand, and then he had to rush at times to get himself in position for the tactical kicking from there. So you know, certainly one thing for sure, what Macca would have learned on Friday night, certainly about Aston Gulden, is a natural fullback, nowhere near a number six.
And do you know what, Rich? Sorry to put in there. This is a big thing where I think our system massively falls down now. You've not only got Leeds playing a load of young kids in a level than they've not played ever before in some of them, but some of them kids haven't played for 3 and 4 weeks as well, because
correct,
they've got no junior level.
Yep.
Yeah, you know, the likes of Lily and a few others have been out on dual registration and stuff like that, but some of them kids haven't played. So not only is the intensity and the speed miles more than what they're used to, they're doing that on the back of no games. So how can that be good for the game? We've got to, and I sound like that broken record again, we need a system underneath the first team where these players who aren't playing first team play for the club that they've signed for on a weekly basis. Is it going to happen? No.
While we're on the subject of Leeds, and you've just mentioned there in dispatches, Gary, Jack Walker, why did the club need to release a statement to say he'd not signed a contract? I don't understand that for a start, but... Well, I guess both of you as former young players with decisions to make, can you understand why Jack Walker made the decision he has done?
Oh, without a doubt, I've just been saying to Craig Murdoch there, and if I'm honest with you, I feel as though that leads totally bang out of order. You know, the reason being, the kid, all right, he's only 17, but I tell you what, he's a quality rugby league player, a quality 17-year-old. The kid himself realises that he's good enough to play first-team football week in and week out. He doesn't want to be a big-time player for the next two or three seasons. He's ready now to play first-team football year in, year out. And at the end of his career, he wants to say, I played so many games in my Super League career, whether it goes up for 5, 10, 15 years, whatever, hopefully injury bound, he'll have that sort of length of a career, to be honest with you. And if Leeds can't give him realistically what he's looking for, okay, he's demanded the number one shot and all this sort of thing. Hey, listen, I won't knock anybody's ambition whatsoever, and what I do is seeing Jack Walker, he's a quality rugby league player, so I don't have an issue with him whatsoever refusing to sign the contract. If somebody else is coming in for him, and if he goes somewhere else, I'll tell you what, they are getting an absolute belter of a rugby league player. But yeah, I feel as though Leeds, from a point of view, were out of order by saying what they said about you and Jack Walker, because as I say, the kid is ready for first team football week in and week out, and if Leeds can't give him it, well, he's got to go somewhere else.
I don't know the ins and outs of his contract length, obviously, but I would be assuming as a 17-year-old, he's got 2 years left on his contract anyway. So realistically, he can't go anywhere. Now, whether Leeds want to give him an upgrade, obviously, it's nothing to do with us, certainly nothing to do with me. You know, but obviously, he's there for the next 2 years regardless. Now, from Jack Walker's point of view, he sees that Ashton Goulding is ahead of him.
He's signed a five-year deal as well.
He's got a five-year deal. He doesn't want to play wing. He doesn't want to play centre. He doesn't have to sign a new deal. So for me, there isn't any story there anyway. So, you know, why release that in the first place would be my question. But as I said, he can't go anywhere for the next 2 years because he's contracted anyway. If he doesn't want to take an upgrade and sign a new deal, that's quite within his
So the situation
right.
here now then, Craig, if somebody comes in, they would have to pay a transfer fee. He can obviously leave with 2 years
well,
left.
Well, first off, if he's contracted to Leeds for the next 2 years, as I said, I'm only surmising what generally happens when you come through the academy. You sign a 2 year deal so they can have a look at you, 17, 18.
Yeah.
Then they offer you the third year or a longer deal to play first team football. I'm assuming that's the same, as again, I don't really know the ins and outs. He'll have 2 years left of his contract. He can't go anywhere. If Leeds say we're not selling you,
right.
He can't go anywhere.
So the only way he can leave is if somebody pays a transfer.
The only way, well, if Leeds agree to sell him.
Right.
If Leeds say, well, we're not taking any bids for him, he's a Leeds player.
So if he's still a Leeds player for the next 2 years, why have they said this thing?
Because obviously they've offered him an upgrade deal.
Got you.
On more money for an extra period of time. I don't know whether it was 3, 4, 5 years. They've offered him an upgrade in that. He's turned it down because he said, I don't see me having I'm reading between the lines. I don't see myself having a future as a fullback.
Yeah.
So I'm turning it down. So for me, there is no story. Leeds offered him a contract. He turned it down. He's got 2 years left at Leeds. Everybody carries on.
Also as well, mate, from what I've seen as well, he's ready for first team football week in and week out. Would you agree?
Well, the games I've seen him, he's been a standout. And every time he touches the ball, he's got that one thing that excites people, Sco, he's got blistering pace, hasn't he? He's got brilliant footwork, and on the back of that, he's got blistering pace. And those two attributes are what scare these big guys coming out here. The guys in the middle who see these people like that, and it's, scary because they're going to make them look silly at times. So, yes, look, as a rugby player, you know, Sco, you need a bit of luck. Mm. You need to stay away from injuries. You're only ever one injury away from not playing this game again. He's had a fantastic start. I'm sure he'll keep his feet on the ground. You know, he's got a couple of years left at Leeds, and then we'll see what happens in the future with him.
But I imagine, you know, if Gary Schofield, age 31, 32, is offered a contract and turns it down, that's more of a new story than a 17-year-old who has only played a handful of first-team games. I just don't understand the reasoning behind putting the story out there. It makes no sense, other than some fans will get riled up by it because they'll think he's disloyal to the club, even though of course he's not.
Well, yeah. I was going to say, is that a guilt trip? I don't know, as I said.
Well, exactly, you know, and again, he's putting a little bit more pressure on the young kid itself and whatever, and you say that the guilt trip and say, well, you know, we can't, the club itself have defended themselves by saying, well, we've offered him what we really think he's thinking, he's turned it down, so don't be blaming us. You know, if this young talent, and he's not just a talent, he's a quality talent as well, and ready for a massive career for mine in rugby league, and I don't think he was justified at all what Leeds said.
I think as well, you know, I think there is two sides to this story, by the way.
I understand
where we're coming from on this one, Rich, but also as well, Leeds can only do so much. They can't force the kid to sign. So if they keep this story in and all of a sudden he signs for Warrington and Leeds is in uproar because it's like, well, what's going on? You know, why aren't we keeping great players like this? That player's within his right to turn down a contract. Leeds have offered him one. You know, as again, we don't know the ins and outs of the deal. Leeds want him to stay. If the young lad doesn't want to stay, Leeds have got to defend themselves a little bit as well. So, you know, there is two sides to this story, and I do see both. Personally, I don't think the story should have been put out there, but I understand why Leeds have done it as well.
Well, it gives us something to talk about this match, which is always good.
Do we need anything, Rich? I don't think we do. And the sun has just come out as Wakefield run onto the pitch. How about that for timing?
I'll tell you what, well, the sun shines on the right, just doesn't it? That's what they're saying. Craig Murdoch and Gary Schofield there at the Beaumont Legal Stadium.
If it's good, we'll tell you. If it's rubbish, we'll tell you. This is Radio Yorkshire. The only place for honest opinions on the greatest game.
So now we know who's finished where in Super League, because Wakefield have lost to St Helens. They will drop out of the top four on points difference. So Salford fourth, Cass top, as we know, 10 points clear of Leeds and Hull. Salford, Wakefield, Saints, Wigan and Huddersfield, Bonham Four, Warrington, Catalans, Lee and Widnes. We now know who will play who at home and away. We don't know when, though. We'll find out on Wednesday. So Cass have home games against Leeds, Hull, Wakefield and Saints, away at Salford, Huddersfield and Wigan. Leeds at home to Hull, Salford, Saints and Huddersfield, away at Cass, Salford, Wakefield and Wigan. Hull at home to Salford, Wakefield, Huddersfield and Wigan, away to Castleford, Leeds and Saints. Wakefield at home to Saints. Oh, not again. Huddersfield and Leeds away at Castleford, Hull, Salford and Wigan. And Huddersfield at home to Wigan, Cass and Salford. And away at Leeds, Hull, Wakefield and St Helens. Right, all that's cleared up. We've got the middle eights as well, but we'll go to those in a bit later when we've let the dust settle on this afternoon's action. Still waiting for the confirmed results elsewhere, but Halifax are going to be in the top four at the expense of Toulouse after their victory this afternoon over Hull Kingston Rovers. Let's head back to the Beaumont Legal Stadium, where we've just seen St Helens put together a comprehensive 41-16 victory over Wakefield Trinity, and it sounds like it was a very good performance from St Helens, and with them now just 1 point behind Salford and Wakefield and two behind Hull FC, it wouldn't be a surprise to see them challenging towards the end of the season then.
I think it'll be more surprising if they're not, Rich, to be fair, on that performance. I think, as we've said, Scully alluded to, they've got some big players to come back into that side as well, and you know, they played very, very well in patches today, St Helens. It was the St Helens of old, you know, that we've seen, throwing the ball around, asking questions on the edges, you know, and two half-backs who were controlling the game and kicking really well. And, you know, take nothing away from Wakefield. Wakefield give it a good go today. Obviously, I think they made some key errors at the wrong end of the field at key times, but, you know, credit to St Helens. We're right on the money for big parts of this game today.
And having seen the reverse fixture early in the season, how dire Saints were on that occasion, I guess, A, it's good to see them playing well, and it sounded like Danny Richardson had a good game as well.
Yeah, sheer quality, Richard. And, you know, Holbrook now, I think it's maybe 11 or 12 games where he's been in charge, and it's taken a little bit of a while to get what he wants, but now the players themselves, you know, they're playing into the way that St Helens evolved, asking plenty of questions around the ruck area, from the Robies back to his best, and St Helens playing off the back, a quick play of the balls, and the creativity at half-back, Richardson was absolutely outstanding. Theo Farge looks a lot more comfortable as well with him at the side of it, and they've got pace in the back line as well, St Helens. So they're playing the right way, the players have got a smile on their face, and yet they're going to give the Super 8s a big shake-up.
And much like Wakefield and Castleford, they've got the advantage of a week off next week as opposed to their rivals in the top four.
I don't buy that, Rich, to be fair. I think that's a booby prize, if I'm honest. You know, if you ask any of the coaches, would they rather have a week off or play in the Challenge Cup semi-final, I think without a doubt every one of them will say I'd rather be in the Challenge Cup semi-final. So I think that's a plus that you make when you knocked out the cup. You can say, oh yeah, we've got good, we can have a week off. For me as a player, you want to play every week, Rich, and you don't want a week off. And certainly Saints, when they've found a bit of form, I think the last thing that they need is a week off. They want to play next week.
Absolutely.
They'll play tomorrow.
Yeah, I agree.
Or Wednesday. You know, let's play now. Let's play again.
Absolutely. Yeah, they want to play again because, you know, they're enjoying the rugby league, aren't they? You can see that, you know. And when they're walking off the field, everybody's got that smile on their face there. They've got their spring in the step. And, yeah, they're going to give the Super 8s a big shake-up. But, you know, Wakefield, it wasn't a too bad a performance, to be honest with you. They were just outplayed by a far better side here this afternoon. But, again, the big question for Wakefield is, they're in a different dimension here today where they knew they couldn't lose by more than 15 points. You know, say they would have stayed in the top four. So that extra pressure. And again, the question will be, now the pressure's on, can Wakefield handle that pressure?
I think the week off is good for Wakefield, Rich.
Yeah, I'll buy into that one.
They can all take a step back and they can, I think, celebrate a little bit to say we've had a great season, fellas. what's done's done. Have a few days off, spend some time with your family. We come in maybe Thursday, Friday, maybe even Monday next week, and then we're all on it. We've had a good week's rest. We've recuperated, spent some time with our family. We bang on now for these midweek.
Well, I would imagine from the coach's point of view, from Chester and John Keir, Craig, it'd be quite simple. Hey, listen, the season's not finished here now.
Started.
You know, let's not spoil all the hard work, what we've done. Let's not spoil that hard work. All right, whether they're going to give them 3-4, maybe a full week off, start again next Monday. But I would imagine the call to the players is, hey, listen, you know, we're not putting the factor six on at this moment in time. The season again now, this is the second part of the season coming, and there's still plenty to play for.
Well, especially not after last year, where after that Challenge Cup semi-final, I know the club had injuries or whatever, but they may as well have given up after that, haven't they?
Yeah, definitely. And I think this time they have got a realistic hope of being in that top four. You know, I think Wakefield have got a team who can go toe-to-toe with anybody. You know, yes, I think they need majority or 99% of their players fit for these Super 8 games. But if they do that, Wakefield are a match for anybody. They've got, you know, a couple of front rowers who are quality. You know, they've got some smart halfbacks and they've got some pace on the edges. And, you know, that's the nucleus of a rugby league side, isn't it? So, you know, nobody's going to come to Wakefield or even play against Wakefield and say, we don't need to worry about these guys because they're easy beats. That them days of Wakefield are far, far, you know, way, way, way in the past. Wakefield are a threat and they'll back themselves. They'll think they've still got a realistic hope of being in the four. And I believe that they have as well.
Castleford last night went 10 points clear at the top. They're only a couple of weeks away from getting the league leader's shield now after that victory in the south of France. Three defeats in a row for the Catalan Dragons. But for Castleford, it seems, you know, they were 14-0 up, go behind and still go on and win. And Jai Hitchcock's try. What a finish that was in the corner.
Yeah, it was. You know, we know Eden scored, 34 tries and spectacular ones, hasn't it? But that second one, what he scored. And, you know, I think the wingers will tell you that. That's what the practice, because the corner flag's the friend nowadays. If you hit the corner flag, it doesn't really matter. If as long as you get the ball down in the in goal, then. But, yeah, that was spectacular. But, again, what we saw from Castleford yesterday, 14-0 up, absolutely cruising. But then when it was a matter of A-boys A and putting rolling his sleeves up. And, hey, let's not forget here, they were down to 11 men at one point, weren't they, with the sin bin in. So, yeah, we're seeing at times when the pressure is on and when they do need to, you know, to get involved in the call. Nowadays a bit of an arm wrestle, they can do that, and we've all seen how spectacular they can play. And yeah, Castleford for mine, yeah, they're the real deal. It's as simple as that.
I'm just going to say something, Rich. When the gods aren't smiling on you, they're not. Not only do I have to walk home, the heavens have opened and it's bucketing down as well. So I've got shorts on. I'm not only going to walk home, I'm going to get wet.
Hey, Craig,
well,
do you reckon John Wilkins being listed to the legend then? Because they're saying, no, he's kicked the ball every game this season from here. Do you reckon he's being listed? Because
I'm texting him now. I'm texting him as we speak.
Give us your car keys. Give us your car keys. I'm going on holiday tomorrow. Give us your car keys. Hey, he'd say, well, you know about the Wakefield players having a week off when you've walked 52 miles back to all. You're going to need 12 months off.
I certainly am. But not all joking aside, I think Cass, you know, it's an interesting one from Cass, because obviously the league leader's shield is theirs, and they're the team who can go into these Super 8s and take the foot off the gas a little bit, but you don't want to do that. There's no pressure on them. They know they're going to have a home semi-final.
Darryl Powell's not going to do that.
He's not going to do it. But no. What I'm trying to say is, as players, psychologically, you know you're there.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And
yeah,
you only have to take, you know, 1% in this game. That's how physical it is. You're 1% off, you lose the game. And we can say it all we want. Cass is going to, and Darryl is, you know, he's going to be ramping those players up week in and week out. Like yesterday was a good sign for me. They went there with, you know, and as you said, at times played with 11 men in a nothing game. Cause it didn't matter if they won or not. And they still wanted to win. And you saw when McShane scored that try at the end,
yep,
how much it meant for them, you know, to keep winning. And that's what Cass have got. Cass have won the trophy. I don't think there's any doubt about that whatsoever. They're going to get the league leader's shield. But their goal is to keep winning week in and week out.
Well, I'm sure Dallow won't be taking the foot off the gas. OK, the Cass players may get a few days off. We don't know. Everybody, you know, they might be getting a week off before they start, you know, next week. We all know the Challenge Cup semi-finals coming this weekend. And if listeners are saying, well, why are the players getting a week off? Well, most of the sides, they're not playing either because of the semi-final of the Challenge Cup. But one way for sure, Dallow won't be taking the foot off the gas. And he wants to win as many games as possible and many points from there and get themselves ready.
Indeed they will. So Cass 10 points clear of Leeds. We spoke about their defeat at Wigan earlier. And Hull third in the table, 27 from 23, victory over Huddersfield on Friday night, Craig. We were there. Unfortunately, not broadcasting to the hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people who wanted to hear our commentary of that game. Well, I don't really know how to describe a game other than that it was just a... It was a game, and Hull won, and Huddersfield...
The result was more important than the performance, wasn't it? You know, Hull needed to stop that rot. They needed to, you know, be in that top four to get the four home games, and they did that. You know, obviously, Leeds had a different approach. They played Wigan, and they went with a, you know, understrength side. Hull didn't do that. Everybody played by Kelly. I think Kelly, if it would have been the semi-final this week, would have played as well, but... You know, the head on the side of caution and give him another week. And, you know, it's an interesting one because I've just heard you say those fixtures. And did you say that Hull's away games were Cass, Saints and Leeds?
Correct.
Now, you know, I know they've got the four home games, but them three away games, they don't come much tougher than that.
Big
going,
test, aren't they? big test from there. But
you know, they've not won at Leeds in, what, 12 years? Mm. I think 2006 or something was the last time they won at Headingley. Obviously, Cass are the benchmark side. You know, they're unbeaten at home all year, and then Saints who have found the form of late, so that, you know, there's some, you know, really big away games for Hull FC coming up in those Super 8s.
Yes, that's Hull, who we obviously will see next Saturday afternoon against Leeds live on Radio Yorkshire from 1:30 in that semi-final. Should we be concerned about Salford? Obviously, they've kind of snuck into the top four based on Wakefield and their defeat today, but three defeats in a row to Salford for Salford, and losing at Lyon on Friday, who obviously had very little to play for going into that game, bar not picking up the wooden spoon in Super League.
Yeah, it is, and it just seems that the wheels seem to be punctured a little bit, don't they, from Salford, and whether, you know, they're, you know, slinging all their eggs in one basket for the Challenge Cup, who knows, you know, the mentality of the dressing room from there, but, yeah, they'll be getting ready themselves for the Challenge Cup from there. So, yeah, it is a little bit of worry, you would say, but... As we've seen Salford this year at times for 80 minutes have been sheer quality, haven't they? They can mix it with the best when they can do from there. But
and they've got two players of quality to add in as well from next week as well. Of course, Tyrone McCarthy comes in, who's available, and also the beast, Mano Vatavai. Mm-hmm. You know, so they've got a bit of quality to add in. I think with Salford, I think they have gone down the route of all eggs in one basket. And I'm sure the coach and the owners of the club haven't, but as a player, you know, when you can see Wembley over those hills and, you know, a club like Salford haven't been there for a long, long time, you take a little bit off, and I'm sure. I fancy Salford next week. I think they'll beat Wigan next week.
Well, as I say, you can't rule them out because, as we've seen there so far this year, they've mixed it with the best, and, you know, they've got some quality players from there, and as I say, the way that Wigan are going at this moment in time, they'll have to play for the full 80 minutes. But it's just a question here again, you know, Salford, it's the first time they've been in this semi-final for many times. But what Salford have got to do in the preparation? They've got to enjoy the preparation. Yeah. Don't be thinking about it too much. Enjoy this occasion, because I tell you what, a lot of these players, only 80 minutes away from it, they may not get themselves in this situation again.
I've got to say as well, Scully, I think it's a difficult one for Ian Watson. The three defeats down, not played great for, you know, a month now. Mm. He's got McCarthy and Vatau available.
Yeah.
Who haven't been there.
Yeah.
Does he bring them in? Does that upset the guys who've been there?
This
because if
I'm
he
saying.
Brings two players in,
yeah,
that means two of those guys that have played right throughout this season
got them where they want to get
to drop out.
This is the big question for Watson. Does he upset that dressing room? You know, because it won't be just the two players who'll be upset, it'll be the rest of the teammates
and
as well.
To be
so
fair,
it's a big one for Watson.
He's had Todd Carney on the edges of the team all year. He's stuck by until recent weeks. His half-backs of Dobson
and Louis
and Robert Louis.
Yeah.
So he's got some, you know, interesting decisions to come this week. And I suppose, Rich, it's one of those you can only answer at 5 o'clock on Sunday after the final.
Well, again, we're mentioning Salford there with the half-back situation from there, and we can from there. So is Lee Radford. For mine, and I've said it now for the last two or three weeks, the big dilemma for Radford is who does he play at half-back against Leeds in the semi-final? Is it Sneed and Kelly? Is it Kelly and Connor? Or is it Connor and Sneed from there? There's a big dilemma. There is a big dilemma for Radders to call. And I tell you, my call is Jake Connor and Albert Kelly to play at halfback to beat Leeds on Saturday.
Well, you both know Radders. Will he be more nervous for that game or the match he had yesterday afternoon?
Well, obviously, I was there yesterday and I spoke to him last night and he said he didn't fluff his lines and everything went according to plan. So, you know, it was a 20-year engagement for Lee as well. He got engaged when he was 18 and it's took him 20 years to finally tie the knot. And, you know, it's taken Hull an awful long time to win at Wembley as well, but they did it last year.
Yeah.
They won't be wanting to give up that with a fight. Going back to Scully's point, you know, it really is a tough dilemma for him because I think Jake Connor and Mark Sneed I think it's either or. I think Albert Kelly's nailed on to play. He will definitely play. I'm pretty confident he'll go with the Mark Snead tried and tested option. Gives him that stability. And what it does, it allows him to play Jake Connor on the bench and have a sort of a backup plan, whereas I don't think he can play Mark Snead on the bench. So I think he'll go Snead and Kelly.
I'll tell you what as well, I know there was plenty of emotion for Radders yesterday. Congratulations, mate, on your marriage yesterday. There's a Wakefield player here just out on his shorts and socks and bare naked. To be honest, what's he looking? He's not looking for contact lens, is he?
It's a sun, isn't it, I think.
Is it? It's a bit strange, isn't it, what he's out. And it's slinging down the rain as well, and he's out with just his shorts and socks. But anyway, we'll move on. But yeah, plenty of emotion for Radders yesterday, but also as well for Hull next week, Craig. Again, they can create history again by getting themselves to Wembley for the second time on the trot, and you know, maybe winning it again if they do manage to get there. But it's found anyway. Whatever he's looking, I think it's his gum shield. Yeah, it's his gum shield there, the big man. But what Hull have got to do next week? They've got to take that emotion out. You know, they have got to try and relax because the pressure's on. We all know last year they got King Kong off the back from there. So Hull next week, they've got to try and go in there as relaxed as possible and not playing on the emotion because of being holders.
I think as well, what he does is he plays on last year's experience as well, and he
Correct.
Says to the boys, how good was it last
Absolutely.
Year?
Absolutely.
You know, as a player, when you get into those big games, and you know, if you're lucky enough to come out on the right side, you remember those ones of the emotions, and you can look back and say, how good was that? You want that feeling time and time again, and you know, I'm sure them Hull boys will give everything next week, as will Leeds, because the majority of Leeds side, you know, they've got added incentive as well. Yeah. Danny Maguire, Rob Burrow, you know, they're not going to be in those Leeds kits in many more finals, possibly two. You know, maybe not. So they'll be going all out as well. It's a big, big game that next week, and I think that one is far, far, far too close to call.
Two things before we finish on the Super League. First of all, Rob Burrow obviously announcing his retirement. Scully, obviously another great player of this great Leeds side. Sometimes I think he perhaps doesn't get the credit he deserves for being in a team with so many other great players around him.
Oh yeah, and but I say yeah, he's been an absolute legend for the Leeds Rugby League club, hasn't he? And he totally goes against the grain of where, you know, the game's all about size and power nowadays. When you look at him, he's the stature of Roger Millward, isn't he? And Rob Burrow, and I say the tries, what he scored, and just the presence of the man in that lead side. From what did he make his debut, about 2003 or something like that? Is it going that far back from there? But no, Robbie Burrow, he's been an absolute legend for the club, and it's not finished yet. I don't know whether he comes back from the injury from there, but. Yeah, the Leeds fans, he'll be sadly missed. The individual tries, what he scored from there. And who will ever forget that one in the grand final? I think that was against St. Helens, wasn't it? From the halfway line from there. So, yeah, himself and Danny both be legends for the club. And I don't think Leeds this week will be thinking about, let's do it for Danny, let's do it for Robbie from there, you know, because at the end of the day, it's like it was, you know, a couple of years ago for the so-called Big Three, to be honest with you. If I'm Leeds and I mentioned it all in my column tomorrow, that's what I've done the column on tomorrow regarding the two Challenge Cup semi-final ties. It's absolutely belting down here now, Rich. I don't know if you can hear it, to be honest with you.
I might not have to walk. Yeah. I might be able to roll.
but as I say, Leeds as well, they can't play on the emotion of, you know, let's do it for Danny and Robbie because it's their last season. You know, Leeds have got to go there and just relax. Just relax. And they've been there plenty of time before. They experience what they've got. So, but yeah, it's that is an absolute belter. And, you know, it's what the column's all about tomorrow.
Yeah, I think the big thing on that is, you know, first of all, I'd reiterate what Scully said about Rob Burrow. You know, fantastic player, as he said. You know, the small but heart as big as a lion. And pound for pound, probably one of the toughest players
Absolutely.
We've ever had. Certainly in my time of watching the game, obviously, you know, Roger the Dodger was a bit before my time and I've seen him play, but what a fantastic player he was. But Burrow was out of that ilk and, you know, really tough. And on top of that, a really top guy as well.
Yeah,
you know, you couldn't meet a nicer guy off the field than Robbie Burrow. Going back to Saturday, I don't think Leeds worry at all about it because Leeds are the club of modern day Super League of finals rugby. So another semi-final to them is just bread and butter. Yes, they've got another couple of lads, but they've got so much experience in that side. So many players who've got 5 and 6 Super League rings, 2 and 3 Challenge Cup finals, World Club challenges, been there, got the T-shirt. The newer kids are just settled down by all the experience in the squad, and they help them through it and say, this is what it's all about, fellas. This is what we take in. This is the time to switch on. And I think it's going to be a classic semi-final on Saturday. You know, certainly be watching it, you know, on Saturday afternoon with the commentary from Radio Yorkshire, of course.
Of course. And I wouldn't like to nail my colours to either mast. I think it's going to be a very, very good game. And
listen,
hopefully
we don't sit on the fence here at Radio Yorkshire Cramer. We don't sit on the fence here. Come on.
If my life depended on it, I'm going to go against you, Scully. I'm going to go Hull Salford Challenge Cup final.
You're going Hull Salford, have you?
I think all the neutrals don't want a Leeds Wigan final because they just won't watch because we don't know who to support in that one. But any other combination is fine. So,
as I mentioned, Richard, my column's on the two semi finals tomorrow. So, do you want me to tell you who I've gone for?
Go on, man.
Yeah, what you've just said there, what everybody wants. I've gone for a Leeds and Wigan final.
All Leeds away. Just a final point on Super League before we get onto the middle eights, because we've got the fixtures there as well. Jamie Acton's ban, were you glad to see it extended after they Lee appealed it?
Yeah, I am. And for mine, they should have got 12 months, simple as that. Yeah, I'm delighted that they've given him an extra thumb there, and they say for me, it should have been 12 months straight away.
It's hard to argue, isn't it? You know, you can't defend the indefensible.
You can't defend it. No way, mate. You can't defend it.
He's obviously regretted what he's done, and he's came out and, you know, publicly apologised for what he's done. But, you know, at the end of the day, we can't let that sort of thing be seen as to be lenient on. And I think, you know, whether 12 months is the right call, whether 4 months is the right call, at the end of the day, he doesn't play again this season. He's got to learn from that, and I'm sure he will. Comes back a better player from it as well, because He's been one of Lee's better players this season, you know, if not the best players. So he's a big loss for them going into those middle eights. So perfect link for you.
After 23 rounds, Bradford Bulls finish on 0 points. Hull KR top on 39, London 36. Halifax with their win today, 4 in a row. They finish third above Featherstone, who are fourth, which means in terms of the fixtures, Hull KR at home to Catalans, London, Widnes and Halifax, so travel to Warrington, Lee and Featherstone. Halifax home to Catalans, Widnes and Fev. Away at Warrington, Hull KR and London. There's one missing there, isn't there? I don't know who that is or why that's gone wrong.
Fev.
And, yeah. And Featherstone at home to Warrington, Hull KR and Lee. Away at Catalans, London and Widnes. There's a team missing, but I can't work out who it is.
I think Hull KR fancy them fixtures, though. I've just heard Widnes and Catalan at home. I think they fancy them, Scully.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they will do.
You know, if you're I think there's, realistically, I think we know that there's only Hull KR who've got realistically Super League aspirations.
Ambitions, yeah.
Now, the game you don't want is the two games, I think, in those fixtures you don't want are Widnes and Catalan away. Rovers have got them both at home. I think they're happy with those fixtures, Hull KR. Yes, they've got to go to Lee. Yes, they've got to go to Warrington. I think you're probably right. The Warrington one off. So they're going to do well to go there and win. Warrington have found a bit of form of late, picked up a few victories. They've got some, you know, big game players. Nobody expected Warrington to be in those middle eights. I think Warrington have got no problem, but I think the others, I think Rovers fancy them fixtures. I think they'll be having a look at them and saying, not bad at all, not bad at all.
I'll agree.
Do you think that, I know Hull KR have lost their last two, but they already knew they were going to finish top. They already knew they were going to get the four home fixtures, and, you know, I'm not saying they lost the limited today, of course, that's nonsense, but it's worked out nicely for them, hasn't it?
Yeah, as I said, you know, there's no such thing as a good loss, but you can look at these ones and say, well, that's not worked out too bad. We've had a bit of, shall we call it luck or whatever?
Serendipity.
Yeah. It's, what you just said there, nonsense, which maybe not total nonsense, to be honest with you.
But but as a player, Scully, you know that's, you go into, whether you're playing Tiddlywinks, if you're a sportsman, you're playing Tiddlywinks. If I played you at golf tomorrow, you'd want to beat me, I'd want to beat
you.
And I guarantee you would beat me because I'm rubbish. But
I'm not much better, I'll tell you the way I'm playing.
If we're playing Tiddlywinks, if we're playing cards, you want to win because as a sportsman, that's what you do. But if you can, as I said before, if you just take 1% away when you're playing something as physical as rugby league, if you just want 1% off the ball, you're going to lose. And I think that's what Hull KR have been the last couple of weeks. They've been, we've done what we needed to do. We needed to finish top, so we've ticked that box. We can just sort of, you know, take our foot off the gas, subconsciously, not by the coaching staff and everybody else, but they have done it. Now they get that week off, and they're massively ramp up going into these middle eights. And I guarantee you, Hull KR will be a different proposition in the next seven games than they have been in the
three games. I'll tell you what as well, because Hull KR Rovers, I'll tell you what, you're going to give all the full credit as well to the fans. I think they've averaged 7,500, you know, and I tell you, that is going to be an absolute cracking atmosphere. The four games, what they've got at... at these, what do they call it nowadays? It's not Craven, Craven, what do they call it nowadays?
Craven Park.
Craven Park. Craven Park, yeah, so, Craven Park. You know, the full credit to the sponsors of full, all the sponsors who have been there every home game, all the fans who have turned up, 7,500. I tell you what, that place will be absolutely rocking for them four games.
Yeah, and you'll probably get an ISDN line there as well, Rich.
Yeah, you get decent food as well. Decent food.
Well, me and Matt Horton visited the chip shop before the game on Friday, so we knew. Credit to Halifax for those four wins in a row to get their place in the top four and in third as well. And to Featherstone Rovers, that's 2 years in a row now they've made the top four in the competition. And to London as well, whose place was secured a few weeks ago. So it's an interesting mix of teams there. Obviously, we all think Hull KR are going to challenge for a place in Super League, but as we've said in the last 2 years of this format, Featherstone, Halifax.
Hey, Rich.
They're as spoilers in a sense.
Well, do you know what, Rich? I was going to say this because, you know.
Yeah, free hand, don't they?
Yeah, we watched the Championship quite a little bit this time. One thing for sure, the four Super League clubs who are playing in this Middle Eights, they will need to bring their A game against them sides, because if they don't, they'll get turned over. It's as simple as that.
And I think as well, just going back to Halifax, you know, I'm really pleased for Richard Marshall and the staff.
He plays the game in the right way, does Marsh?
Of Halifax, but because of last week, we were there, Scully, weren't they? Yeah. And Halifax played great to beat Featherstone, and there was the emotions of the whole club that they'd got the win. And then they heard the score coming through that Rovers had been beat by Toulouse. And they came off the field, the players were, you could see that they were physically, it was almost like they'd got beaten.
Yeah, deflated.
And they walked off, and they thought, and I spoke to Rich in the week, and he said, we were so happy, and then we were so down when we heard that result. He said, now I've got to pick him up and go again. He said, but I think we can do it. And he did. They've been confident, they've beaten Hull KR, and I'm delighted for Halifax and Rich Marshall that they're in the top four.
Now we're coming to the end of 3 years of the Super 8s. Do you want to see them again next year?
Have we got that long enough to debate, have we?
I'm trying to pick out my best diplomatic answer.
I honestly think that the Middle 8s bit is the best bit of the whole thing. Obviously, the winning the championship bit at the top of the Super League, that would happen regardless. The bottom eight of the championship, that's a bit of a... Well, the championship shield is what it is. And, you know, it's a trophy for finishing fifth or sixth in the table. But at least, you know, we've had interest going up to the last games of the season, of this part of the season in the championship, and in a sense the bottom four in Super League, with Huddersfield securing their place a couple of weeks ago as well. So at least there's some interest there. It may be artificial, but at least it gives some more meaning to some of these games.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, you know, Scully and I had the honour, the pleasure, the privilege, I don't know what the word is, of doing that £1 million last game. And I don't think we'll ever see a game like that ever again.
No, we won't.
We'll never see a game like that again. Now, whether it's right to put players under that pressure where they're playing for their livelihoods over 80 minutes of rugby, you don't know. Again, as a spectator and as a neutral, as I said, for pure adrenaline and pure rush of emotions, as I said, there'll never ever be, as the game goes on for another 200 years, I don't think, ever be a game like that at the KCOM Craven Park last year. But as I suppose, if you're involved with the club that loses that game, how do you come back from that? You know, it was a crazy old game, and I think it's got something to offer, but I also think that at the end of the day, we're inventing fixtures to add up some jeopardy
excitement
into a competition, some excitement into a competition that we're basically saying we failed to generate over 23 rounds. So, you know, there's part of me says, you know, I'd love it if we had the quality to have 14 teams. We play each other twice, we throw in the magic weekend, and then we have a top eight playoff. But that we knew that didn't work, because we wouldn't have the quality. We were having two teams at the bottom of the league that you were just getting beat week in and week out. We finally got it now where we have got some jeopardy in games. We have got a top eight where we go into these Super Eights with everybody still with a chance, whether it's a realistic chance or not, mathematically still a chance of getting into that top four. So we've got to say, for the first time, it's worked, and now we're talking about throwing it out. So I think we've got to stick with it. I think it is what it is. It's not ideal, but we are now getting some jeopardy where we don't know the results of games.
It's all right, they'll scrap it next year anyway. So we'll have a 1,400. Won't it be like Argentinian football, where their top flight has 30 teams in? That's what we want.
Yeah, can I throw something in that? I think, again, a little bit of me says, I think that the competition would like to have Hull KR in, because they bring something to it.
Yeah.
You know, they bring 700 or 800 away fans every other week on the road. Mm-hmm. So every other chairman would like them to be in the competition. obviously from a Hull side of it, you see the Hull derby when you see the KCOM and the KC packed out 2-3 times a year for big crowds. And also, I don't think the Magic was the same last year. It was still a good occasion, but I don't think it was the same without having the Hull derby and the Rovers fans there as well. So I think maybe, cynical part of me as well, we'll see. It'll depend what happens with Hull KR. If they do genuinely get back into the competition by right, I think the competition will probably stay as what it is.
And that's how they'd like to do it. They'd like to do it by right, wouldn't they? Rather than a makeshift competition again.
See, and what you've described there, Craig, is getting the best teams in the competition based on various factors, not just on the field, which, of course, was licensing, which we binned off, which was a great concept.
All the rumours what was going around, I think we all know, well, we've an idea what's going to happen anyway, haven't we? So let's not mucking around and coming up with different solutions. Yeah. We all know what's going on. We're going back to licensing, aren't we?
Well, we'll find out soon enough.
When are we going to find out?
I don't know.
When are we going to find out?
Well, after
find
the million pounds. Pound.
Exactly. Exactly. So then it gives everybody what, 3 months to prepare to see where they are, and you know, if they can afford to buy the players.
Now we've just what's this jacket on Matt Horton?
Matt
here?
Horton's got an LFC jacket.
What's he doing there?
Matt Horton's got.
Well, I'll tell you what. Having driven back from Hull in the back of the car with him and Mrs. Horton, you won't argue with Mrs. Horton, would you? That's the thing.
Listen, if Mrs. Horton says it's Christmas, I'm singing carols, and I love Karen to pieces.
I'll argue with Mrs. Horton. Don't worry about that.
You argue with anyone, though.
I'll argue with Mrs. Horton. Don't worry about that.
I'm not.
Well. on that bombshell, it's been a historic afternoon at the Beaumont League Stadium, because of course this is the final ever regular season game there now at Bellevue, unless, you know, there's another season at Bellevue next season. We don't know about yet. But thank you for bringing it to
Rich,
us.
Rich, you said that without laughing as well. Very well done there.
Well, I've had enough false thorns of A, when Wakefield are going to move, and B, new stadiums that are never going to get built. So having passed once again the Sir Rodney Walker Megadome on Friday on the way back from Hull, I still will believe it when I see it. But gentlemen, Craig, enjoy your holiday.
If I get
Or Scurry, enjoy your holiday. Craig, enjoy the walk back to Hull. And we shall catch up with you again sometime in the near future.
Cheers, mate.
Cheers, Rich. Look forward to the show tomorrow night. Thanks, Bertie.
Yes, 6 to 8 tomorrow night, Radio Yorkshire. We'll be talking all things Rugby League. Craig Murdoch and Gary Schofield there at the indeed home of Rugby League, the Beaumont Legal Stadium.
What the hell is that? Brass band music? It's Sunday. Get the rugby league on.
Asher straightens up and then he gets one. How is that not a penalty? Wakefield fans erupt and go bananas and point at Scully. It's if it's his fault. Blame Gary Schofield, that's what I say.
What's it got to do with us, with Wakefield fans?
For Peter, Williams goes wide to Griggs. Griggs will straighten up inside the 10.
I've seen it all now, Craig Murdoch. I've seen it all from fans, honestly.
11 metres out, it was a penalty, but it certainly weren't your fault, buddy. As Hassan goes inside the 10, another one that looked a bit borderline.
I'm supposed to commentate with a whistle now, am I?